Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
I'm Tiziana Deering, host of Radio Boston, and now let's talk public health. After 3 years and more than a million people lost, the Biden administration has officially declared the COVID-19 pandemic is no longer a national health emergency as of today. That is true at the state level, too, which means, among other things, that COVID vaccines and testing will no longer be free, even as COVID remains in the background. And scientists are tackling other illnesses. Respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, with the FDA announcing the approval of the first ever RSV vaccine earlier this month. So what is next for the COVID pandemic, and how will it inform our latest medical breakthrough, for example, with RSV? With all that on the table, we actually decided it was time to ask the doctors. Doctors Sabrina Asumu and Benjamin Linus are both infectious disease physicians at Boston Medical Center and professors at Boston University School of Medicine. We might have thought those days were over, but they're not. Dr. Asumu joins us on the line. Welcome back, Dr. Asumu.
Thank you for having me on.
And I want to note, we have an Ask the Doctors first ever in the 3 years we've been doing this. Dr. Benjamin Linus is actually here with us in Studio 2. Welcome.
It's really a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you here. So I want to start with each of you, Dr. Asumu, with you on the line. A moment of reflection. I remember the days. And I don't say this with sort of celebration, but with observation. I remember the days when it felt like this moment might never come. How are you reflecting today?
Yeah, no, we are in a far better place than we were 3 years ago. We've lost many, many friends and loved ones, but science came to the rescue. We developed a vaccine really quickly, and it's been able to prevent a lot of deaths. And I'm hoping that as a state, as a nation, we actually use all the lessons that we've learned so that we can create a better future for all of us.
So I'm going to give a little more context as I ask you to reflect too, Dr. Linus. Tufts Medical Center, Boston Medical Center each reported days last week where they had zero COVID patients for the first time in years. At the same time, about 1,000 people are still dying each week from COVID nationally, with more than 70,000 hospitalizations, according to the CDC's COVID data tracker. Yet we have ended the public health emergencies as of today. How are you reflecting?
Well, it's been quite a ride. I think I first want to acknowledge that we've lost more than a million people to this virus, which it's hard not to be tearful if you really think about that number. But I also want to celebrate. We do have to take the wins. We've all been through so much, and here we are at the best place that we've seen since March of 2020. I think we should be happy about that. It's appropriate to be in a new place. It's a little disappointing to see that we've just turned off the entire public health emergency as of today, and the implications of that for things like testing and vaccines, availability of treatments. There's real policy concerns there. So I hope we can evolve and learn a little bit from this pandemic. But I do want to celebrate the fact that we're clearly in a new place. And, you know, we've been through a lot together, but here we are. And I hope we can learn the lessons, as Dr. Asumu said.
Give me a couple of sentences on why you're disappointed, and then I'm going to give a similar question to Dr. Asumu.
Well, I wish that with all of the trauma and everything that we've been through, that we could have learned, and I've said this many times, I think, on these airwaves, it's not a 0-1 situation. And we've made progress. We made some small gains in equity, or at least awareness of equity. We made some gains in providing free vaccination and free testing to people for 2-3 years. To pull all of that off the table in one day because we've seen some gains strikes me as foolhardy, right? That's why, part of the reason that we are where we are. And to just reverse on that, and you know, on a threshold notice today, seems like a bad choice. And so I hope we can evolve and start to make greater investments in public health for the next time we see something like this.
And again, Dr. Asumu, a little more context as I turn that same question to you. Last month, several hundred physicians here in the Commonwealth signed an open letter to the administration, the governor's administration, decrying the intention to lift the mask mandate in hospitals, even questioning the ethics of that. But the administration has stood by that decision, saying it was made in consultation with health providers. It's scientifically sound. Today at noon, Massachusetts Health Coalition for Equity is actually holding a Zoom protest over this. I suppose there's also nothing keeping individual hospitals or healthcare providers from maintaining mask mandates within their facilities. What do you think the right balance to strike right now is?
Yeah, this is a, if you talk to many infectious disease physicians right now, this is one of the important questions that we're grappling with. What I usually answer when I'm asked that question is, I focus on the patients and the population that I serve. I take care of a lot of patients who have weakened immune system. And so I'm going to be wearing a mask for right now, because it's a very simple thing for me to do to make sure that I protect them. So it's a very hard, it's a very hard balance to strike, but I know what I will be doing as a clinician to protect the patients that I care for.
I want to talk for just a moment. I want to get to RSV as well, but we are constantly, we have been trained almost as sort of even lay people, these mini scientists following strains, et cetera. We have this new one, not sure this is really helpful, Dr. Linus, this social media labeling of the Kraken, which is the what social media is calling the latest strain. I think that is the XBB.1.5 variant, which is still an Omicron variant. It seems to me that the story has been, we have this trade-off of more contagious, less lethal. Does that continue to, am I right even that that's the story, A? And does that continue to be the story as we see new variants coming forward?
Sure. I mean, I think the media and social media love to come up with sort of scare tactics and clever names for new variants. So I think people should not panic. Variants will continue to emerge. They always do. You're right. It's not locked into stone, but there often is a trade-off between a more transmissible virus that then becomes less virulent. Because if you're the virus, right, if you become very transmissible and kill all of your hosts, soon you don't have anywhere to go and your virus, right, you stop existing. So that's often the trade-off. It's not locked in stone. But I do think that we can expect to see more variants emerging in the future. It's important to be aware of those things and to be thinking about how it might impact vaccine design. But we've seen this before. We do this with influenza. We understand that variants emerge and viruses shift, and we can't stop watching. But I don't think this is novel ground to be on.
We're talking with infectious disease physicians Benjamin Linus and Sabrina Asumu here on Radio Boston, reviving Ask the Docs in this moment where we have seen the end of the public health emergencies declared in the United States and here in the Commonwealth. And I'm going to shift now to the FDA announcement last week that it has approved the British pharmaceutical company GSK's RSV vaccine for people aged 60 and older. The vaccine reportedly was more than 80% effective at reducing risk of lower respiratory tract disease in trials. Pfizer and Cambridge-based Moderna are now working on their own vaccines. I could ask either of you this, but I'm going to turn to you first, Dr. Asumu, because I remember with great joy the very first time you joined us on an Ask the Doctors, and you hammered away at the importance of vaccines. You kind of became known as our vaccine doctor on Ask the Doctors. So give us your take on the importance or no of this RSV vaccine.
Oh, thank you for remembering that moment. Actually, yeah, I also remember it very clearly. So first of all, this is also another joyous moment for us in infectious disease. A vaccine for RSV is something that we've been waiting and hoping for many decades. And it's a culmination of a lot of work from a lot of scientists. So this is a very important discovery. Having a vaccine that's shown to be effective and safe for RSV is definitely a great development. So let me tell you a little bit about RSV so that everyone is on the same page. So respiratory syncytial virus is a very common virus that we often see, and a lot of us have been exposed to it. And most people, it causes just a mild disease. But in certain people, such as the elderly, or people with either lung or heart condition, or people with a weakened immune system, or children 5 years or younger, could actually have more severe disease from it and actually could die. So for many, many decades, we've been looking for a vaccine to prevent these deaths. And so this is a really remarkable discovery that now we have a vaccine that's approved for those 60 and older to be protected from this infection that could be deadly.
So Dr. Linus, I'm going to ask you now also to explain a little bit the sort of phenomenon, may be overstated, but it's a word I'm going to use, of our increased awareness, especially for families with older adults who are immunocompromised, or for families with little ones, especially under three, who have been largely in isolation over these last couple of years, of this vulnerability to RSV, which has always been there, right? And we know kids under two, for example, are going to get it at some point. But COVID has led to RSV playing a different role in our communities and our lives.
Yeah, I think that's true. We've seen it. I mean, here we are on Ask the Doctors. There's a real interest, I think, in infectious diseases and infectious disease epidemiology, because all of us have always been living it, but perhaps not as much on the surface as we did during COVID. When it became the biggest factor in most of our lives, suddenly everyone was an epidemiologist. And I do think, appropriately, people are more aware now. That risk has always been there. And small risks are easy to ignore because, thankfully, generally, you don't experience them until you do, right? And then they're tragic. So I do think that there's a heightened awareness. And I would also point out that a lot of the, you know, this is what we get when we do good science, right? And we build evidence. We develop new approaches that then spill over onto other diseases. And vaccine technology is really exciting at this point. And I hope that perhaps some of the learning people have done through the COVID vaccine, you know, we've seen a lot of vaccine resistance, but we've also seen a lot of people learn a lot about vaccination and what mRNA is and what these platforms do. And so I hope that makes people more comfortable in seeking the vaccine, because we are losing between 6,000 and 10,000 people over 60 every year to RSV, and it's now preventable. So I hope we do a good job of preventing it.
So, Dr. Asumu, is there anything that we are seeing in the approval of this RSV vaccine, the choice to administer it to people over 60 first, the way it will be rolled out, et cetera, that you see as markers of what we've learned through developing a COVID vaccine, administering a COVID vaccine, policy-wise, healthcare-wise, et cetera?
Yeah, no. So an important development is going to be that what we'll see likely in the fall is that as we're recommending, you know, that you get vaccinated for the flu and for if there is a new fall vaccine for COVID, we'll also recommend for those who qualify to also get their RSV vaccine, if that's what ends up being the recommendation. So I'm hoping that there's a heightened awareness that, okay, we're entering respiratory season. This is a time when you should get vaccinated so that you're protected for the respiratory season, when we actually end up seeing a lot more hospitalization and a lot more infection. And also using that time to remind people, okay, this is probably the time when you need to be a little more cautious. You know, if you're at high risk for complications from, let's say, COVID, maybe this is a time when you avoid crowded indoor public settings, that you consider wearing a mask indoors. So anyway, I'm hoping that we're going to use all those lessons that we know have worked to improve outcomes in the future.
We're speaking with Drs. Sabrina Asumu and Benjamin Linus, both of Boston Medical Center, here on and Ask the Doctors as the COVID pandemic public health emergency ends, as an RSV, respiratory syncytial virus vaccination has been approved. We head into the warmer months. It will get cold again, sad as that may be. Dr. Linus, we were so aware of this idea of the triple pandemic, the triple-demic, right? Or some people would call it the tridemic. There were a lot of words for it. That, you know, will it be back this fall? One of the things I heard Dr. Asumu say was that idea of you'll go in and you'll get your various mm-hmm. boosters, right? What is it likely for us to expect will be the roster of shots that will be recommended, right, in the fall for flu, RSV, COVID, and what is the sort of cocktail of illnesses and how they might interact mm-hmm. that people should sort of set their heads for this coming cold weather?
Sure. Well, so I think we've had overlapping epidemics of RSV and influenza, you know, essentially forever. The new factor there was the addition of COVID, which sort of opened everyone's eyes and made them aware. So I think we should expect to see that. It's always difficult to project COVID, right? It seems like it's on the downward trend now. And I'd point out, it's not entirely clear that COVID is truly a seasonal virus. If you look at the peaks, they do line up with seasonality, but they also line up with the emergence of new variants. In contrast, RSV really is well known to be a seasonal virus, similar to influenza. So I suspect, as Dr. Asumu said, that the CDC body, the ACIP, will recommend that there's a RSV vaccination in the fall along with your influenza vaccine. And it remains to be seen if those may one day be co-formulated. There's been some, in the initial trials of the RSV vaccine, there was some concern that when you give both flu and RSV at the same time, there could be some complications. There were some events, and so they're doing some more work on that before they approve that sort of co-formulation or simultaneous administration. So I think there's something to be learned there. We'll have to find out a sort of the exact timing, but I think people should be ready that, you know, when you hit 60, it's probably time to start getting an RSV vaccine and to continue getting influenza vaccine for sure. And, you know, as you know, the question with COVID boosters and what's the right cadence and what's the right timing remains a hot question and a hot topic. And it's difficult to predict what the recommendation is going to be. But I'll say just blanketly, I recommend that everyone follow that recommendation when it does come to make sure you remain vaccinated for COVID.
And to be clear, there is no reason to expect that families with kids under 5, for example, will have access to an RSV vaccine this year.
This fall, no. One thing that is coming, though, is there's trials going on of giving the RSV vaccine to people who are pregnant because there's potential benefit to the newborn. RSV is a major killer of newborns globally, so that would be very exciting if we can vaccinate pregnant people and then provide protection to babies who are very difficult to immunize because they have no immune system. That's an exciting development, but that's next year or the year after.
All right, one last question to each of you. Rochelle Walensky, the director of the CDC, has announced she's stepping down at the end of June. She's local. She came from here. She came from Mass General. She's been in your ecosystem. She has talked about how the fact that she went to the CDC was her responding as somebody who answers the code. I'd just like a thought from each of you on her tenure. Dr. Asumu.
It's interesting that you're talking to us. We've both known and worked very closely with Dr. Walensky. So I can say I'm a fan to start off with. But and let's just look objectively at the work. So there's a lot of work that she's done behind the scenes. When you think about standing up a surveillance program, think about the wastewater that we're all relying on and trying to make it nationwide. This is something that was started with her administration. Another thing is the forecasting, national forecasting program that I think I may have talked about at different points in this show, kind of like telling us, okay, what is it that we should be expecting? What is to come? I think that there'll be very exciting things to come from this. And also understanding the role of misinformation that has played during the pandemic and really trying to come up with a way to come out with data relatively quickly so that we can act on them. So there's definitely a lot of positive things that have come out that we're hoping are going to help with improving the CDC moving forward.
And last thought to you, Dr. Linus.
Sure. Thank you. What a treat. Dr. Walensky is a personal mentor and someone I've known for more than a decade. So to have the opportunity to thank her for her service publicly and on air is a real pleasure. I think it was remarkable. This is a leader who stood up in the middle of a 12-alarm fire that really effectively had people throwing gas on it and said, yes, this is the environment in which I want to lead this country. And she took us through some of the most difficult times of the pandemic politically and epidemiologically. And I just want to say publicly how much I admire her service and what a fantastic physician and leader she is. I think we're fortunate to have her be local. I hope she's coming back to the area. I look forward to hopefully having the opportunity to work with her in the future and just want to thank her again for her service in this very difficult time.
All right, doctors Benjamin Linus and Sabrina Asumu, are infectious disease physicians at Boston Medical Center, both on faculty at Boston University School of Medicine. BU holds the license for Radio Boston for WBUR. Thanks both for doing an unexpected Ask the Doctors.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Thank you very much.